Reading from John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, October 21st, 2025, Testimony Tuesday, listening friend. We're starting it up again. Actually, a couple weeks ago we had guests in. Last week it was Pastor Herbert Bennett. And this week, it's another pastor, a good friend. Actually, it's been a year or two since I had he and his wife, Deanne, on the broadcast, but he serves at the First Baptist Church in Springfield. His name is Pastor Rick Mulkins. Actually, do you go by senior? Because your son is like junior, right?
I usually put the senior just to differentiate between the two.
Yeah, with the same names. In my phone, I have the senior next to you.
Yeah, because a lot of people get confused. Some of them may think I sing, and we've got to differentiate.
Appreciate Pastor Rick Mulkins. He serves at the First Baptist Church here in Springfield. We're at the WLUJ studios. In fact, you're going to be a part of the Friday edition,
Absolutely.
Mark and Friends.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
yes.
We're going to talk about Matthew chapter 22, verse 1 through 14, the parable of the wedding banquet. And so we're excited. Tune in again this Friday. You'll hear Pastor Rick interacting with a room full of friends, and we're going to talk about these end times,
Amen.
That the invitation is being sent out to be a part of the kingdom, and we need to be ready. We need to have our eyes open. The days are precious, and we don't know when the Lord's going to return, but he will return. Hey, do you want to give a little sneak preview of what's going to happen on Friday's edition?
Well, basically, we're talking about one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible. Of course, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that God wishes that no man would perish. And so we see in this particular passage of Scripture, there's a banquet that's going to be taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And God is sending out invitations to everyone. Whosoever willing, let him come. And the love of the Lord is so great, and he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all of us to come to the knowledge of the truth, which is Jesus Christ is Lord. And so that's kind of really what this parable is about. It's just letting us know that there is going to be a celebration going on, and he wants us there. He wants us there.
So that's going to be Friday, as you know.
That's going to be exciting,
We have a room full of friends. It's always an exciting time to share through God's word and get input from other listeners. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, call the station, because oftentimes we tape it in advance, and so we can schedule it to come in. We have snacks and treats and great fellowship time. It almost becomes like a small group experience. And
Amen.
So call the station, and we'll tell you when the next time we'll be meeting up and doing the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. You can call us at 217-528-2300. That's 217-528-2300. We meet at the WLUJ studios, 600 West Mason Street in Springfield, Illinois, but we'd love to have you. It's always great. A bunch of people, Christ followers that want to share and lift high the name of Jesus and study his word together. But we opened up with a verse out of John chapter 15, verse 13.
Yes.
Greater love has no one than this,
Amen.
That he laid down his life for his friends.
Yes.
Why is this a special one?
Oh, it just goes to show the agape love that God has for his people. Most people would never die for an unrighteous man. You know, some may die for a righteous man, but we look at Jesus Christ. I mean, he died for humanity. It just goes to show us the genuine love that he has, and that he wants us to come to him and freely receive his gift. Yeah.
Now, when you say for his people, but really, because I'm thinking of John 3:16, for God so loved the world.
Yes.
So really, his people could be anyone that really calls on him. Yeah. So listening, friend, I just want to point that out because it's not just this special group of people that live in Israel or that have a Jewish background or that read their Bible every day or just because you go to church. Not necessarily just his people.
Right.
It's somebody that has come to know Jesus and God's love, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because the Bible also says in the Old Testament, God says, all souls are mine, all are his.
Mm-hmm.
And like we're going to be talking, you know, before long here with the wedding banquet, that it's the ones that receive the message, and those are the ones that are coming forth.
when I had you and Deanne on, I don't know, it was a couple years ago. During COVID.
It's been a few days ago. Yeah, it has.
I know at the time you shared a little of your faith journey a little shout out. Your beloved wife, Deanne, you are two pears in the tree. I mean, you're made for each other.
We are. We've been together so long. Literally married 48. We dated for 2 years prior to that.
Okay.
So 50 years. We're looking at a half a century together so far.
Yeah. And when you were in the studio, I thought to myself, anytime I need a fill-in, you two could be a part of that. Lord, and that's why I asked you to be a part of the Friday edition of Mark and Friends with Pastor Mark Johnson out of town.
Yes, absolutely.
You were the first one on my list that I said he's capable, he loves the Lord, he preaches at a Baptist church, so you know God's word is going to be honored and declared. And generally, most Baptist churches will have an altar call because you know the importance that there might be somebody that attends that really never had that personal experience to recognize Jesus as Lord and Savior. And wasn't that part of your testimony, too, where you were a churchgoer for many years and everyone would have assumed, oh, he's a believer.
Absolutely.
So tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I sit in church for 10 years, Mark, and people would have thought that I was a believer because I looked the part, I dressed the part. I knew the word, but I never applied the word in my life. I've heard so many sermons. You talk about a person without excuse, that would have been me because I was sitting there for 10 years. But Lord was always trying to draw me in, draw me closer. But I was just letting the things of the world hold me back until February 11th in 1994, about 9:30 p.m., I had a divine encounter with God Almighty, and it changed my life.
And talk a little bit about that, because there's listeners from all walks of life. I was telling you beforehand, with our various 21 frequencies, some between rock and roll stations, so people are scanning the dial, and they go from one rock and roll, and then they hear like a gospel message, and it's like, what is this all about? And we've had, Karen has answered the phone many times, the same with Joyce or Ani.
Yeah.
People, because of one of our call letters, WGNN, they think it's WGN Chicago, so they'll call for Cubs scores or lotto numbers. What was the lotto picks? And Karen will get these at like midnight. And so people are scanning the dial and they hear you talking about this personal savior coming to Jesus or asking him into your heart. But they're like, yeah, but what world do you live in? There's crime, there's heartache, there's wars, there's rumors of war. Why would a loving God allow all this turmoil? And so some of them are maybe far from God or have misconceptions about this loving God. They don't see a loving God. So for that person that's tuned in, and hopefully we're keeping your attention, dear one, because you've been fashioned in God's image.
Yes,
you are cared for. He loves you. He wants to work through you. And I apologize that you've had a hard life or disappointments or abusive relationships and on and on and on. There is heartache in the world. There is sin in the world. But maybe walk them through a little of that. What made the difference in your life? You were hearing the Bible. You were hearing it preached. But how did it become personal and why?
Yeah. One of the interesting things with me was my wife, of course, had been a believer a long time before myself. But I saw the integrity in her walk. And I believe the Lord was using her to show me how real he was. Because what God was wanting in me was a relationship like my wife had with the Lord. And I watched my wife, Deanne, day after day. She was a prayer warrior. She was always wanting to go to church. She was always wanting to do the things of the Lord. And that ministered to me a lot. I mean, there was a lot of times I thought, man, this God has to be real just because of the changed life in her. But again, I think because of my stubbornness, because of my pride, because of who I was, I heard all these messages for those 10 years, but never fully surrendered, never fully surrendered. And I think God was just trying to draw me in. He wanted me to realize that I can have the same thing Deanne has. All I got to do is come up and repent of my sin and ask him to be my Lord, my Savior. And honestly, God will change your life. And that doesn't mean that always everything will get better, but it's nice to have somebody to walk you home, to have somebody on your side.
And listening, friend, I don't think there's probably, and I'll just talk with you, Pastor Rick, but we all know we fall short.
Oh,
I don't think there's an individual that thinks they're great or without sin, or many maybe think they deserve to get into heaven because they're better than somebody else.
Yeah, they're comparing themselves to, but they're not comparing themselves to Christ.
Right.
That when we do that, we all have sinned and fall short.
And God's heaven is perfect, and you only get into it because
there's
of what Jesus did.
Yeah, that's it.
And so listening, friend, you might be that person that has fallen short, like all of us.
All of us,
But that doesn't keep you out of heaven. It's your reluctance to recognize you need a Savior.
That's
and Jesus
true.
Is the Savior.
Yeah.
God sent his best. God's word is clear. For God so loved the world, God so loved you, listening friend, that he gave his one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Amen. That whoever believes in him will not perish, but be granted everlasting life. And you can have that today, but it's a recognition of what? Turning from your sin or recognizing I'm a sinful person and I need a Savior.
Yeah, realizing that God is wanting me to be a part of his kingdom, and I need to realize that I am a sinner, that I fall short. And I need to realize in my own heart of hearts that I want a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And I think God is trying to draw everybody in. No matter where you are in life, God is setting up events or orchestrating things or moving people here, maybe there. But he's trying to let us know that he wants us to be a part of that kingdom, that he wants us to be saved.
I know earlier we were talking about grace. And, you know, it's that pattern of three where somebody's talking about it, then you hear it on the radio
and you read it in a book.
Well, I've had like five different instances. And the thing about grace, and it's God's gift to mankind, womankind, it's his gift to everyone. It's where the term grace is like unmerited favor, where we can't earn it, we don't deserve it, we can't earn our way into heaven, we can't say, well, my good outweighs my bad, so I should be let in. Grace is something that God extends, not that we deserve it. It's just amazing. It's kind of scandalous, if you will. It's wow, you mean...
Absolutely.
Even in light of the fact that I've fallen short, I've done this, I've lied, I've cheated, you know, whatever commandments you've broken, you're still eligible to get into heaven? Yes, because God loves you and he made a way through the Lord Jesus. So
that's right.
When Pastor Rick or somebody maybe you meet today and they talk about, well, come to Jesus, get to know Jesus, he's the Lord and Savior. He died. He paid the penalty.
Yes.
It was a brutal death, but he did that because it was God's plan, his redemptive method to allow us to get into heaven. So it's not what we could do, right?
Exactly. And the Bible is very clear in Ephesians 2:9. It talks about there's no way that you and I can enter heaven because of our own good merit. It's only what Jesus Christ had done. He paid that sin debt in full. And I mean, literally, when you study the Bible, Jesus took a bloodbath for humanity. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, a lot of times we just think, oh, you know, these little... No, he really took a bloodbath. He died for us because he knew that he was the only bridge to the Father.
Yeah.
And he knew that according to several passages, John 14:6, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's revealing to us that the only way for us to get into heaven is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way.
Hmm.
No other way.
Well, that's kind of the verse that we opened up with, John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends.
Yeah.
So this is talking about Jesus, right?
It is. It's talking about Jesus. It's talking about the love he has for all of us. Again, we can't fathom that because sometimes we've been brought up in broken homes and broken marriages and, you know, all these things. But God loves us that much. That he wants us to come to him. He wants us to give us everlasting life.
Hmm.
So, it's profound. I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but I think it's just awesome what God has done for us.
And for the person that's maybe a skeptic or agnostic or an atheist, even though I don't believe there's too many really true atheists.
Probably not. I agree with
come
you.
Come on, listening friend, you might call yourself an atheist, but do you really believe that eons of time just happened in circumstance and primordial slime and it all just came together and there's no ultimate meaning or purpose and a mosquito is just as valuable as you and that it's just circumstance? Come on, atheists. You can't have that much faith to believe that it's all circumstantial and everything just happened and something was created out of nothing. I mean, at least entertain the idea that there could be a higher power, something behind it all. I mean, come
on. Agree.
I mean, I have a few friends that I'm like, I wish I had the faith you had because it's so outrageous to believe we just happened out of nowhere.
I
mean, come on. That's not.
Yeah. And you look at the passage also, it's found in the book of Romans chapter 1, where it talks about God is revealing himself to humanity. Sometimes we don't see because we don't want to see. But if we would really open our eyes and our heart, we would see that God is moving and God is out there. Because he also says in Psalm 19, he says, look up, see the handiwork of God. He's revealing himself every day.
Well, that was a part of a Testimony Tuesday a few weeks ago. I had a gal on about how to share your faith in 60 seconds less. You ask permission, and then there's steps to do it. But part of mine was being underneath a star-filled sky in Lake Geneva at a youth camp. I was about 11 years old. And looking up at the stars and just knowing that there was a God behind the universe. That just didn't happen in circumstance.
I
mean, I just knew that there was a God. But prior to that, there was a a speaker talking about Jesus, and he died for our sins, and that there was a separation between us and this holy God, and only Jesus made the bridge. And I accepted that. I recognized that as truth. And in front of this campfire with like nine other 11-year-olds, like four of us teared up and cried. And, you know, boys, we don't cry in front of other boys.
No, you hold it in.
But God's power was at work. And I saw myself as a sinner. I recognized I needed a Savior. And I asked Jesus into my heart. And that was like the first of many decisions. And, you know, that sanctification process. It didn't mean I didn't fall short and
up. I understand.
But I recognized that Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior. I asked him into my heart and was forever changed. And then there was maturity in times where I had that lordship issue, like Jesus was my God on Sunday for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
But I needed him
every
lordship
day. Every
Monday
day.
Through Saturday also.
I agree.
And so anyways, that was a little of the faith journey. Well, I'm looking at verse 16 of John 15, and we both talked about, we love this whole chapter.
Yeah, that's an awesome chapter.
15, 16, and 17 is just filled with so many wonderful nuggets. But this verse 16, actually 16 and 17, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other.
Yeah.
And I just love that concept. You know, we can love others because we receive and understand God's love for us, but that's like the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And we're kind of in the midst of where things are so divisive and everyone's skeptical or hating each other or challenging each other, and there isn't that spirit of love and acceptance.
Right, that's true. And unfortunately, you're right. We're in that day and hour. There's so much hate and evil that's going on in the world. But when we surrender our hearts to Jesus, he makes that change. He also says in the New Testament, you cross from death unto life when you have love for the brethren. And love is one of the basic elements. God wants us to love one another. We don't always agree with what everybody's doing, but we got to have that love there, because that love is what changed my heart from a sinner to a saved man.
So
his love is just tremendous.
Here's another one. This John chapter 15.
I was thinking of another one too, but go ahead. Well, that was John 13.
Here's John 15:5. We talked about this just briefly.
Yes.
I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and that's so important, each and every day listening friend, remaining in the Lord.
Yes.
If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And then this part, apart from me, you can do nothing.
Yes.
So listening, friend, this is something that's been on my mind many times over the last few years, that am I abiding each and every day? Am I reading? Now, abiding in the Lord, are you praying to him? Are you talking to him? Are you listening to him? Are you reading his word? Are you fellowshipping with other like-minded believers? Are you recognizing that really you're nothing without him? And
that's
so anything that's going to happen positive in your life is going to be because he's going to work in and through you or equip you or nurture you along. But isn't this a great one? What's one of the ones you're thinking?
Well, the one I was thinking, which we talked about earlier too, is found in the book of John also, and it's in the 13th chapter, and it's in verse 34. We're talking about love. He says, a new commandment that I give to you. He said that you love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. Look what he says in verse 35. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. And that's the gospel. That's, I mean, the Bible is a blood book. I mean, Jesus died for humanity, but he loves his creation. And he wants us to come to the truth.
A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Now, when it says, as I have loved you, he paid the ultimate price. He died for us. He gave up his own life for us. Yes. I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's kind of like a calling for all of us today, Pastor
Rick.
It
is. It is.
That as we go out, as we travel around, as we meet up with people, are we extending that love, that compassion, that care?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're commanded to do. I mean, the Bible tells us also in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, the Great Commission is to go tell people. Go tell people, teach them, baptize them, show them the ways of the Lord. God's ways aren't necessarily that hard. If we have a genuine love for him, obeying him is easy to do. But we have to get up every day and just go forward, go forward. And I was sharing with some people earlier, we don't always understand everything, But we trust God. Mm. We trust. And when we really trust the Lord, sometimes he may have us go out on a limb and it doesn't make sense. But I know God works everything out for the good. Because he's a great God. I mean, I don't know what else to say, but he's a great God. Yeah. I mean, we can get people excited, you know, because it's God and how awesome he really is.
Right, right. Well, listening friend, in case you don't have maybe a church family or you haven't entertained the idea of returning to church after many years or maybe since COVID or you've never been to church, Pastor Rick, what are your service times? You serve in Springfield at First Baptist Church, but in case somebody maybe isn't affiliated with the church or they have an early service or a late service or a Sunday night service, but they want to come and hear you preach God's word, what's your location and how can they find out your service times?
Okay, that's a good question. As you said, we're Springfield First Baptist Church. We are located at 4150 Sand Hill Road here in Springfield. And we have Sunday school on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. till 10:30. Then we have our traditional Sunday morning service at 10:45. And we're usually done right around 12:15 maybe. And we also have a Thursday night Bible study, which starts at 6:30. And usually we're done by 8 o'clock.
And what's the address?
4150 Sand Hill Road.
4150 Sand Hill Road in Springfield.
Yes.
And what would be a phone number in case they needed directions or wanted to know, is it wheelchair accessible or
okay.
Had something?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, the phone number is 217-523-7731. Or you can call me personally at 217-638-7729.
That's 217-523-7731. That's the church number.
Yes.
And cell number 217-638-7729. I appreciate Pastor Rick Molkins. Actually, I love his son too, which is also Rick Molkins.
And I was trying to get him here. I was hoping he would come. But,
and there are 10 children.
Yeah,
10 grandchildren for you.
I actually have 16 grandchildren.
16 grandchildren.
Yeah, all total.
And Deanne's the best. She's the great first lady.
Without her, I'd be lost.
Loves people. And
she does. She has a genuine love for people. I can contest to that.
And you'd be very welcome at the First Baptist Church in Springfield. In fact, I attended a time or two a men's ministry gathering there.
You did.
One of your preaching Sundays.
Yes.
And I appreciate your passion for God's word and declaring it and dividing it and teaching it and helping equip all believers, those that are new to the faith, maybe those that haven't even started a faith journey that feel welcomed and comfortable there, to the senior saint that just delights in God's word, as you say.
Yes.
What a privilege that we get to experience his grace. We get to share that with others, and we get to proclaim the good news message of Jesus. And remember, friend, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants you into his kingdom. He loves you. He cares for you. And I pray that today might be a defining moment, maybe renewing your faith in him or celebrating your faith in him or beginning that faith journey this very day. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Rick Molkins with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.